my name is Chongor Hamley, and today I want to show you how I made this.
The book has two parts. The first one is for the students. 144 color pages printed in a print house, and it looks beautiful. The second part is only for the teachers. It can be printed in black and white. The book's target audience is everybody who has Hungarian roots, who speak Hungarian but don't live in a Hungarian environment. The kids are mainly at the age of 11 to 12, but it can be used in a broader interval, and their teachers, and their parents too. The book's main content is mostly grammar and spelling, but some literature, some idioms, and some other funny things are also there. The document contains hundreds of tables, images, and fields. And if you open the already defined by renaming it to zip, then you can see the content in which 65 bytes of pictures can be found. The team had three authors. One of them was the lead author, and another one was the project manager. We also hired a graphic artist, but because we were on a tight budget, we used only a couple of pictures from her, and most of the images were coming from stock. There was one editor, which was me, and there were reviewers as well. The first one wanted to use this in her scientific career as a reference, but when she realized she cannot use this, then she gave the whole thing back. After that, we hired someone else, but we didn't get too much helpful information from her. So finally, we decided to ask two kids from the target age group who were working really hard, and they gave very beneficial feedback. So we were very satisfied with them. The project lasted for 9 months, and all participants were full-time employees at some companies. Besides this, they also had families, so we could work only in our spare time. The project won 15,000 Australian dollars from government tender. This money has been spent for authors, the project manager, correction, and other things. The bottom line was what we knew in advance, that this is a highly underpaid job. The motivation why we participate in this project is quite similar to why other people work in open source projects. We wanted to help our teacher friends, our friend families, and others. We felt responsible for the community, not just in Australia, but everybody who lives far from Hungary. We were motivated by other enthusiastic community members, and we felt this was a mission for us. By which I mean that if we don't do this well, then nobody will, so we must do it well. We use the following programs during this project. Different components of LibreOffice, GIMP, Inkscape, and the whole thing was running on Windows 10. Obviously, we had some difficulties. From this screen, you can see that the Hungarian alphabet contains a couple of two-character and even a three-character letter, which don't really cause any problems, but the accented characters do cause. If you want to enter them, you need to install a specific keyboard layout on your computer, which is not a big deal, but you need to do this. After that, the other problem you will face is that the Hungarian alphabet has some specific characters which occur only in Hungarian texts. These are highlighted by yellow here. The problem with these is that many font files don't contain these characters at all. If you want to use them, then the characters are replaced by the corresponding characters from other fonts. Mostly, the result looks terrible, as you can see here. The next problem is that most of the online tools we wanted to use, like word search creators and word cloud generators and things like that, they don't support these Hungarian characters, and you need to come up with creative solutions if you want to bypass this problem. The next problem was that there is a specific character in the Hungarian alphabet, highlighted by yellow here, the accented I, which is very complicated to enter. The English keyboards don't have enough keys to map all the characters, and this is the character you cannot enter with any single keystroke. to enter this character, you need to know that there is a combination of the right alt and 9, which adds the accent to the following character. So after right alt and 9, you need to press the normal I, which will become the Hungarian accented I. And the same thing works with the capital version. The problem is that most Hungarian authors don't know this trick, and they just don't use this character. We also had some problems with the limited text editing skills of the authors, but we were able to bypass this problem. The next set of problems is related to the LibreOffice bugs. First of all, images sometimes have phantom frames. This video shows that changing the zoom factor, a fake line appears and disappears on the right-hand side and under the image, which are actually not there, but it confuses you. We also had some deterministic crashes, which is good because you can avoid them. And we also had non-deterministic crashes, which is much worse, obviously. We had some problems with the images, which we sometimes pasted into the document and the image didn't appear. And after a time, it appeared in several copies. The next problem was related to the image anchors. You can see in this video that when the image anchor went up a little bit, when I moved it up, then the word in the cell also moved up, which clearly shouldn't do this. So this was a bug. I couldn't really figure out why it was happening. If I replicated the same content in a new document, then the problem was not there. Maybe my document got corrupted somehow, maybe something else went wrong, but it was really annoying and I couldn't get rid of this problem. I figured out a workaround, however, which I will talk about later in the questions session. We also had some problems with the undo redo chain. Sometimes if the track changes was turned on, then the undo redo chain just collapsed. We also had some problems with the PDF export. On this picture, you can see how the picture should look like. The bottom of the picture should be aligned to the bottom of the table. But in some cases, the PDF export contained something like this. So for some reason, the picture was shifted up a little bit. Without changing anything in the document, just exporting to the PDF again, the second PDF was a bit different. It was already good. This was quite an unpredictable problem. There were a couple of pictures in the document. I think there were 3 or 4 of them, which were notoriously bad. So after each export, I just checked whether those ones are okay. And if they were, I assumed everything is okay, but this was quite frustrating. In the beginning of the project, I made some experience with master documents to check whether they could handle these many chapters, just in order to decrease the load needed to cope with this. And it turned out that this master document concept also has some bugs, which I didn't want to live with. So that's the reason why I decided to work in one single document. Apart from LibreOffice bugs, we faced some LibreOffice limitations as well, which caused some difficulties. First of all, if you have a larger document like we had, then scrolling and navigating in a document is very hard. This video shows how slow it goes if you have many, many pages on the screen at the same time. You click and still the document hardly moves, but if you zoom into a smaller part of the document so that only a couple of pages are seen at the same time, then the whole thing is much faster. Another problem was that page styles cannot be in an inheritance relationship with each other. The inherited from field of the page style dialog is there, but it is disabled, because inheritance exists only for character styles and paragraph styles, but not for page styles, unfortunately. If you have 34 styles like I had, then changing everything manually is really terrible. The navigator in Writer is also quite awful sometimes. In this screenshot, you can see that the images, for example, are not ordered at all. Even if you know the actual image you want to work with, finding it in a long unsorted list is very hard. The other problem is if you have an image you want to use in several copies and to give the image a meaningful name, then after duplicating it, the new image won't have this name. It will be just image whatever with the number. There is no relationship between the names of the copies. The third problem with the navigator is that there is no information about the image apart from its name. The thumbnail would be really useful, I think, and indicating the file size, how many kilobytes it consumes in the ODD file, would also be a nice information. The change tracker is also very limited. For example, if you have a very simple document, like the one you can see on this picture, then there was one word moved, the lorem has been moved from the beginning into the middle, and you can see it has been deleted from here and pasted in there. This is fine, but to the ipsum word, you have no idea what happened. Actually, I changed the color here, which you cannot see because every change is brown, and I also changed the font size slightly, but there is no information about what actually happened. The next problem was with the autosave mechanism of the LibreOffice, which is a very useful feature in general. But the problem is that it works even if nothing has changed. And if you have such a large document that it takes 20 seconds to save, it just interrupts you, and it's really annoying. The other problem is that autosave blocks LibreOffice completely. While one document is being autosaved, you cannot work on other documents either. This is a blocking operation between the open file you are editing and the other one you don't even change. It's quite annoying. We also managed to cause some problems for ourselves. For example, we screwed up our canned stock photo subscription. The author who organized this forgot to mention to the team that the subscription period has started and informed us only a couple of days before the expiry. Therefore, we were unable to download all the images in the appropriate resolution we wanted to, so we needed to come up with creative solutions. We also had problems with the proofreaders, what I mentioned earlier. The next problem was that different approach from different authors caused some conflicts, which means that one of the authors was totally maximalist and she wanted to do everything perfectly, regardless of how much time and how much effort it requires. By contrast, there was some who didn't approach the project this way. She just wanted to solve it somehow, and this tension caused some problems in the team. The communication was also difficult because the authors haven't worked together earlier, and during the COVID times, the online-only cooperation is pretty hard, especially if you live in time zone with a difference of 3 hours. Beyond the basic text editing tasks, there were some challenging parts as well. One of these challenging things was the colorful label at the edge of the pages, which aims to help the reader to find a given chapter more easily. The way how I implemented it was to put a shape, a rectangular shape, anchored to the footer of the page. And this anchor makes the shape repeated on every page. The problem was that every time when it needed to be changed, then I needed to modify it in every page style of the document. Printers cannot print quite close to the edge of the paper. They always leave some margin. If you want to do this, then you need to print the content on the larger sheet, then the final one, and then you need to cut off the excess. This technique is called bleeding, and the name of the symbols you need to print to each corner of the page is the crop mark. The bleeding has been implemented by simply changing the page size by adding 3 millimeters in every direction. And the crop mark is an SVG file that contains the 4 L-like symbols in the corners. And the SVG image is anchored to the footer again so that it is repeated on every page. The problem with this one is that if you add the SVG layer to the page, then every time when you want to click on the text object in the document, any text object, then this SVG layer hijacks the click and you cannot click the text anymore. Therefore, this SVG should be added as the last step of the text editing. When I was sharing the work in progress version of the document with the 3 team members, then I wanted to indicate it clearly that this is not a final version yet. So it was obvious that I need to add some watermark to the document, and Writer does have a watermark feature, but it is not exactly what I wanted. The watermark LibreOffice Writer adds to the document is displayed under the content, like you can see here. The diagonal text is behind the colorful tables, behind the images, behind everything else. This is not what I wanted. What I wanted was something that is in front of the content, and in order to get that, I needed to use a whole bunch of other programs. First of all, from Writer, I used PDFill PDF Image Writer tool, which is able to save PNG files. Each page is one PNG file after that. Unfortunately, LibreOffice cannot do this. After that, I used IrfanView, which is a beautiful tool. If you don't know it, it's worth learning it. And finally, I used Windows Explorer with BooZip PDF printer in order to combine all the watermarked PNG files into one PDF document. This is the result what I got after that. As you can see, this is much better than the native watermark tool of LibreOffice Writer, because this diagonal text is in front of the document, not behind it. The tools I used the most in LibreOffice Writer was clear direct formatting in order to avoid formatting the other authors added to the document. I used a lot of styles too. This is just the number of the styles, not the number of how many times they were applied, obviously. The 27 paragraph styles were used hundreds of times, and the same can be said about the character styles. A lot of tables, a lot of images with different anchoring, drawing objects, field names, and so on. The fields were used for page numbers. I used the same technique for the task numbers. You can see here that the task numbers are incremental. This is how the core part of the document works. But the solutions part of the document, which is for the teachers only, didn't use this technique because there are some tasks which don't have a solution in the solution part. Thus, the numbers have gaps there. I also used the fields in case of the crossword puzzles. You can see here that the number of the cells are coming after each other. And if you make it manually, it is quite easy to make a mistake. So I just used fields for the incremental numbering. There were a couple of cases when I couldn't solve problems by myself. In this case, I got help from online forums. A simple Google search has helped many times. If this didn't help, then there was the Hungarian LibreOffice community, especially one person who helped me a lot. He is Tibor Kovács, so a big thanks for his help. The third source of help was LibreOffice Bugzilla. Even if I couldn't find the actual solution, I was able to find a workaround, for example, in the case of the phantom border problem. And in another case, when I found a deterministic crash, then after I entered the bug in the Bugzilla, it has been fixed quite quickly. This was a very good job from the LibreOffice team. Thank you, guys. There are a couple of things I would like to change in LibreOffice, if I could. First of all, hierarchy, I mean inheritance for the page styles, would have helped me a lot. And I really hope a future version of LibreOffice will be supporting this. A better navigator would also be beneficial because the current version is very hard to use. The change tracker is also very poor because you have no information about what modifications were there in a particular change step. The fourth one is it would be really nice to work with dummy pictures. The thing what I mean by that is the following. Currently, if you paste a large JPEG file into the document, then since the moment you edit the document, it is occupying a huge amount of memory, a huge amount of CPU resources, and it is always there. Instead of this, I would like to have a setting in LibreOffice Writer in the View menu, which says, instead of the original high resolution version of the image in the screen, I just want to see the lower resolution version of each of them. It could make the rendering much faster, thus you could work with the document much faster, but you still would be able to see what the actual picture is. And the only moment when LibreOffice Writer turns into the high resolution of the image is when you print it, when you export it to PDF, or when you turn it on manually in the View menu. I think it would be a very useful feature in LibreOffice Writer. The next thing is the watermark feature, which should be fixed or extended or replaced by something else, which can add not just underlay watermark, but overlay watermark as well, in order to avoid the many manual steps I needed to do. Another thing that is really hard is navigation in a larger document. If you have a 200-page long document, then jumping between a particular task and its resolution 50 pages later, back and forth between them is really hard. JetBrains products like IntelliJ, PHP Storm, or Golang do this very nicely. On this video, you can see that jumping between different parts of the document, regardless of you change something or not, you can use the Ctrl-Alt-Left and Ctrl-Alt-Right key combinations to jump between those places where you occurred with the cursor the last time. This is very convenient, and I think LibreOffice should do the same thing. It would help a lot if you need to jump between different parts of the document. The next problem is that Draw and Impress has a bug with undoing things. This video shows that there is an object with default blue style. I attach salmon style to the object, and then I modify the salmon style to be green. Undoing the last step, however, doesn't undo the style modification, it undoes the style attachment. It undoes the previous step and leaves the style changed. As you can see, the color of the shape is not changing as you would expect. So this is a bug which I think should be fixed. In order to avoid the nasty SVG layer I use for the crop marks, there should be a dedicated tool that could be placed into the page style dialog. The next thing is the image navigator, which, as I mentioned, should have a lot of new features. It should show the byte size of the image, the DPI data, and what compression and encoding it uses. The compression parameter also should be changeable, because LibreOffice handles this in a quite surprising way. This video shows the problem. I add an image to the document in two ways. At first, I use insert image. This JPEG is about 700 kilobytes. Now I open the same file in GIMP, copy-paste into a document, and save it. By renaming the file to zip, we can see that the image we inserted directly remained a JPEG, and it uses only 700 kilobytes. But the one we copied from GIMP is stored as a PNG and uses 4.5 megabytes, even if it has an identical set of pixels. It would be nice if GIMP could tell LibreOffice what compression parameters the image should be stored with. The final conclusion related to the project was that it was a rocky road journey, but we got very, very nice, very good feedback from other teachers who saw the final result. The book itself looks amazing, I think, and during the project I learned a lot about LibreOffice Writer. The big question is LibreOffice Writer a good tool for such a large project? I can say yes, I was able to solve every problem, and I would do the same the next time. Was this project worth all the efforts? I can clearly say yes, it was amazing. And the thing that shows this the best is that the next book is already in the pipeline. We are working on the next one. Thank you for your attention. Please ask your questions if you have any. I'm here to answer your questions, if you have any. Okay, if there is no question, then I would like to show you the trick I figured out to solve the anchor problem. You should be able to see my screen here. So here's an image which has the anchor here. If you see the content in this table, then as soon as the anchor reaches the table, in that case, when I release the mouse button, the cell content jumps up. This was the problem. I couldn't figure out why it happened, but when I pull the image anchor out from the cell, then the content of the cell jumps back to the desired position. So if I wanted to put the image somewhere here, then I would have problems. So the way how I coped with it was to put the image to a place where the anchor is outside of the table. And in that case, I can change the properties of the image manually, which means that I can change this position number here. So if I want to move it a bit up or down or whatever, then I can change this number here and the image moves while the anchor stays at its original position. So with changing the number to the desired position, it needs a couple of OK and restart iterations, because there is no apply button here down, but there is some chance that sooner or later you will find the position where you wanted to put the image to. It is just a nice trick to know if you ever face such a problem, which hopefully never happens, but it still can occur. Okay. Thank you for your attention.